This call is being recorded.
Good morning. Thank you for calling Declare Victory. This is Felicita. Who's on the line?
Good morning, Felicita. It's Susie.
Good morning, Susie.
Good morning.
Good morning, Felicita and Susie. It's Deborah Evans.
Good morning, Deborah Evans.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for calling Declare Victory. This is Felicita. Who else is on the phone?
Good morning. This is Diane.
Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Felicita. How are you?
Wonderful. And you?
I'm good. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
Going on mute.
Okay. Good morning. Thank you for calling Declare Victory. This is Felicita. Who else has joined us this morning?
This is Cynthia.
Good morning, Cynthia.
Okay. I'm going to mute my phone.
Okay, you have a good day.
I'm struggling.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is there something that we can pray for you about?
Yeah. Victory, declarance, and something. I don't know what to say, but I love y'all.
We love you, too.
Okay, so I'm going to mute the phone and just listen to the declaration.
Okay. We love you.
Good morning, Sunny Eva.
Good morning, Yvonne. Good to hear your voice.
Valisita, did you get the lady's name that wants prayer? I couldn't hear her.
I'm almost positive she said Cynthia.
Thank you.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you for calling Declare Victory. This is Valisita. Who else has joined us this morning?
Good morning. This is Veronica.
Good morning, Sister Veronica.
Good morning, it's Renee.
Good morning, Renee.
Good morning, family. It's Dondria.
Good morning, Dondria.
Good morning. Good morning, family. It's Debbie.
Good morning, Debbie. Good morning. Thank you for calling Declare Victory. This is Valisita. Who else has joined us this morning?
Good morning, Lavina.
Good morning. Thank you for calling Declare Victory.
And China.
Good morning, China.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Barbara out of Lodi. God bless everyone. Somebody send a prayer up for me. I am feeling really sick this morning.
Okay.
I'm going to the doctor at 9 o'clock.
Okay, and you said this is Barbara, you said?
Barbara out of Lodi.
Got it. Thank you for letting us know, and we will put you on the prayer request list and praying that you will feel better very soon.
Thank you, sweetie.
You're welcome. Good morning. Thank you for calling Declare Victory. This is Valisita. Who else has joined us?
Good morning. This is Warrior Princess, the finisher.
Good morning, Warrior Princess. Good morning. Thank you for calling Declare Victory. This is Valisita. Who else has joined us this morning? Okay, at this time, I'm going to ask everyone to please place their phones on mute, and we'll go ahead and begin the hosting.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Valuable Valisita, and I'm your hostess. Thank you for joining us here on Declare Victory. We are a prayer call that meets Monday through Saturday, starting at 6 a.m. Pacific time, to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Please feel free to invite a friend so they can be blessed as well. Be sure to tune in daily in March as the teaching theme will be Intentional Growth. Hi. To make sure to on mute, please. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Be sure to tune in daily in March as the teaching theme will be Intentional Growth. Higher, deeper, wider, stronger. You do not want to miss the teachings, lessons, and messages that the declarers are preparing as they hear from the Lord for his people. We have one announcement. Today is the day that Declare Victory fasts for anything that you may be believing the Lord for. If you would like to join in, push back your plate or something that you spend a lot of time doing and offer this time to the Lord in prayer. We will be fasting all day until 5 p.m. when we will call back into the same phone number and have a quick closing prayer. There are no new prayer requests from the app. However, we have two prayer requests from the phone line. Please lift up Cynthia. Let's just lift her up and ask for God's peace and comfort to be upon her this morning. And also for Barbara out of Lodi. She's not feeling well today and she's going to be going to the doctor. So let's just pray for God's complete healing to just manifest throughout her body in Jesus' name. The order of the call is as follows. The declaration will be done by Dion, and praying and corporate praise will be done by Tanya. I'll repeat the order. Declaration by Dion, and praying and corporate praise will be done by Tanya. At this time, we ask that you please place your phones on mute until instructed to come off of mute. I now pass the call to Dion. Dion, if you're speaking, we can't hear you.
One moment. Amen. How about now?
Yes, we can hear you now. Thank you.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, cool beans. Well, again, happy Wednesday to each and every one of you. I am praying that all is well in your house. I am extremely excited about today's beta test. We are actually live, and Sabrina is calling me, and I'm not sure. Nevertheless, I'm on the phone.
Address your phone.
You're fading in and out.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And if I can have everyone.
Faded out again. Can't hear you.
Amen. How about now?
That's very, very good.
Awesome. Awesome sauce. So again, we are literally live on freedomradio.com. If you've not done so, please, ma'am, please, sir, go ahead and download the app. For some of you, you may just have the ability to listen as you wanted to make sure that there is another way for not only you to hear the call on a consistent base, but for people to join all over the world. Technically, we are now syndicated. So I'm excited about that, about being able to reach and teach the lost and to have additional folks join the body of Christ with us. I am literally, as we speak, muting people. Please leave your line muted. Thank you. Amen. So we are focused this week on Higher. There are 4 weeks this month, and we have multiple different folks sharing. And I'm excited about where God is taking us in total. I'm excited about the process, but more than anything, I'm excited about being able to watch each and every one of us grow and become any and everything that God called us to be. We have access to a sovereign God. There are things that we do not take advantage of as believers. And this morning, I want to talk a little bit about that. Amen. Amen. So this morning's teaching, I heard the most phenomenal message this past weekend, and not only did it bless me, but it gave me a different insight with regard to how little we believe what we say we believe. It gave me a greater insight in that there are things that God has promised us that we don't take advantage of or hold of as believers. For some reason or another, we have a tendency to think that there are things that we have to do outside of obeying God. And the reality is that is not so. Amen. And with that in mind, sometimes we tend to walk in defeat when, in fact, not only do we serve a sovereign God, but because greater is He that lives on the inside of us, we actually have the ability to operate on a much higher plane, a higher level. We have access to things that only God could empower us to operate in. And this morning, I want to talk a little bit about that. But before I do, I want to share a little bit about what royal life looks like. Now, I love how God gives me things. And I love how He paints a picture for me so that I can share it with you as plainly as I possibly can. And the very first thing I want to do, we are all familiar with Queen Elizabeth. I think everybody knows that she is not only an icon or a living model or example of what it looks like to be royalty. She has painted a picture, and she might be 176 years old, but child, listen, that woman is still reigning and ruling a whole nation. Her word is law. She says what she says, and it is final. If you didn't get the memo, she will send a few soldiers to make sure that you catch it. But outside of that, she has some sons. Prince Charles, who will later stand to be her successor, is high ranking, and no matter what he does, no matter what he said, no matter what has happened in his history, he is still entitled to the throne once his mother passes. Now, we also know that Prince Charles has a couple of kids by Lady Diana, and I love Henry. Henry is rambunctious and a little bit of a rebel and can be found behaving badly. But guess what? He is the third in line to reign on the throne, no matter what he's done, no matter how he behaves, no matter if he says sorry or he doesn't. He is still in line for the throne. Now, one of the things that I love about that reality is that nothing I say, nothing you say, nothing you do will change that. And what I love even the more about that is he behaves as if he is a royal bloodline. Even though he'll behave badly, he knows that he has access to some things. He knows that if he calls on his father, or really, quite frankly, he knows without a shadow of a doubt that he can go anywhere and walk in a door
and people know who he is, that gives him a specific degree of access. I'm probably sure he doesn't have to pull out his checkbook or make special provisions or ask for permission to do much of anything. He is a heir to the throne. Everything about him, he's attended the best schools. He has gone to places that many may never go to. He's done things that only royal bloodlines do because he knows exactly who he is. I don't know if you're familiar with the culture of England, but elite children don't spend time with average people. They are elitist in nature, and they operate as if they are already operating in their kingdom role at hello. The thing I love about observing this culture and observing this sect is that not only do they know who they are, but everyone around them knows who they are. Whether they are seated on the throne or not, they are of a royal bloodline. So I want to take us to a place where we can see the similarities in who you are right now, right today, right this second, without correcting anything, without changing anything, without doing anything other than confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying go out and do the fool. What I am saying is that you are a royal priesthood, a chosen people, a royal generation right now, even in your imperfection. I'm going to talk a little bit about Abraham and who Abraham was and how that in Romans, the 12th chapter, I'm going to jump around in the word just a little bit, but I promise you, I'm going to give you five steps and two processes. Five steps and two processes. Romans, the 12th chapter. And as I started to consider Abraham and how that his faith was counted unto him as righteousness, I was trying to think in my mind what made him, of all things, of all people, we know Adam being the Adam, he knew who God was from hello because he was the only available person to give credence to the reality that there was a God. However, in this 12th chapter of Genesis, Genesis, the 12th chapter, is where it all began. I love how God is plain in how he simply says, the Lord has said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. And the fourth verse says, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him. Well, there are a couple of things that come in to play. The first two steps are tied up in those four small verses. First and foremost, Abraham knew God's voice, which means that he had obviously built a relationship with him. The second thing that he did is Abraham followed his instructions. He didn't ask questions. He didn't go through any antics. And if you read a little bit further, it states that Abraham just started moving around, as I like to call it. As he did so, I can only imagine that to say clear and in constant communication, Abraham had to have a life of devotion to God, to trust him to the degree that everything that he had that he would leave behind and only take with him the thing that he treasured, which was his wife, and then he was attached to by his nephew, which is a whole horse of a different color. And as I begin to study it and consider the parallel of him understanding that God had already told him before he got to where he sent him that he would be made into a great nation. To date, we still consider Abraham our forefather. We still give credence and honor to his legacy of great and mighty faith. And so this morning I submit to you that your responsibility is to go higher in your belief system. Now, I'm going to read this chapter to you. It was read on Sunday, and it pricked my heart in such a way that I want to share it with you, but in a very different context this morning. Romans, the fourth chapter, and Abraham being justified by faith. Now, remember that the first real mention of Abraham was in Genesis, the Old Testament. Now, here we are in the New Testament after Jesus has come and he has established that grace has overrided the law. What then shall we say to Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks to us of blessedness of the one whom God credits righteous apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Is the blessedness only for the circumcised, which means have they already gone through the routine or the process of being cut back? Or also for the uncircumcised, for those of us that have not yet arrived in the place where our obedience overrides our fleshly nature. We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstance was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised? Was it after he got it together or before? It was not after, but it absolutely was before. And he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. Before he got it together, he only exemplified what the tradition stated after he was already considered the righteousness of God. So then, he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, which means you don't have to absolutely have it together, in order that righteousness may be credited to them, which means that the same faith, the same degree that Abraham believed, we have access to believe, and it is our responsibility to take onus of that as reality. Now, I don't know about you, but the truth is that there have been times in my relationship with God that I did not know that it didn't matter how hard I worked, where I didn't realize that it didn't matter how good I was or I wasn't, but that there are promises that our Heavenly Father has put in place for us as a direct reflection of his love for us that has nothing to do even with us believing. However, I know without a shadow of a doubt that us believing him is our primary, and to be very honest, our only real mandate. We have a role and a responsibility in kingdom living to believe God to the degree that everything else becomes alive. We can find that in the Word. We have a responsibility to believe God when nothing looks like it's supposed to, when every single thing on the planet is uncomfortable. And the truth is that even if you blow it, until you don't blow it anymore, if you believe what this Word of God says about you, God gives gifts without repentance. Now, again, I'm not telling you to go live a raggedy life, but what I'm telling you, and I'm gonna show you and share with you how that Abraham obeyed God, but he was still flesh and blood. Abraham believed God, but he still had moments when he blew it. Abraham had access to the heart of the Father because he was willing to trust him against all odds. That part of the process is absolutely mind-blowing. And once I began to take a hold of the truth of God's word, it helped me to start anticipating that no matter what happens, at least the primary things in my life are the responsibility of our Heavenly Father. The primary things in your life are the responsibility of your Heavenly Father. And when we obey him, we reap the reward of his heart being pleased, which doesn't have anything to do with you being good or not. Your maturity level needs to graduate. Your maturity level needs to be maintenance. Your maturity level needs to be transitioned into hoping against all hope, trusting when you can't see, understanding that every single promise is yes and amen. Well, Dion, how do you prove that? Well, if we take a look at Genesis, the 12th chapter, there was a promise made in Genesis. And then here we are, way over in Romans, the 4th chapter. Abraham is long gone, and the standard was yet set, and we still operate in that truth of him being our forefathers today. Now, get this. Not long after Abraham obeyed God, not long after he began to sojourn to a place where God would show him, which means that he didn't know where he was going. He didn't have an idea what the end result would be. He just began to move in the direction that God gave him. And I can assure you that constant communication kept him on task and on path. But what eventually happened was he got to Egypt. And as he began to move through Egypt, he told his wife to lie for him. This is after God called him his righteousness. This is after God said he would be the father of many nations. This is after he was on his way to the Negev, which is the desert place. This is after he was acknowledged for being of great faith. And literally in the 10th verse of that very same chapter where he obeyed God, he blew it. However, over here in Romans, the 4th chapter, who God said he was from the foundation of the earth is still who he remains. God didn't say Abraham believed and it was counted unto him as righteousness, but he lied. When I read it, and not that I hadn't read it before, but the reality is, guys, that we don't necessarily believe that God is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We don't necessarily trust the truth of God's word for us to live our lives in process. Now, mind you, our lives are already predestined. They're already, the steps are already cut out. You're just walking in them. and who you are, you were before the foundations of the earth. Who you are and who you will yet be is what God said before you agreed with him. Who you are is who you were at hello. And the reality is that if, in fact, you begin to live your life like all of God's promises are yes and amen about your life, some things the Lord will begin to eliminate. Some things the Lord will begin to transition in you with your cooperation of being translated from a faithless life to a faithful life, a life of faith that is so certain and sure that God is a promise keeper, that you will start to live without boundaries and borders. You'll start to make decisions that are based upon the truth of God's word and not your feelings about how good you have to be in God's good graces. The truth is, if you blow it, keep going. Again, I'm going to reiterate, I'm not saying do whatever you want. I'm not saying live a godless and ridiculous life. But what I am saying is that there is nothing you can do to change what God has said about you already. There is nothing you can clean up or fix up or adjust or mediate that will change God's mind about who you are. The reality is your faith is counted as righteousness. Now, what I can say is this. You have to get to a place where you're okay with dealing with separation. What does that mean? I can assure you that Prince Henry and all of the royal court, they didn't spend a whole bunch of time with people who would not understand that they are of a royal bloodline. I'm sure they weren't across the train tracks down there with Joe Bob Nim or little Juju Nim, or as some would say it, little Ray Ray. I'm pretty sure that the people that they spent time with were people that understood what royal behavior looked like. Now, I say that to say that when God told Abraham to leave his family, I'm not saying anything about his family because there isn't a whole bunch of talk about what his family believed or didn't. But I do know that God separated him from what was regular, what was traditional, what was the average, what was normal, what was the experience for the culture and the time. I can attest to that simply because I remember leaving everything that was familiar and coming back, and it appeared that everyone else was tripping. And the reality was that they weren't tripping. I had just changed. There are things about who we are for some folks that are right now in their process of transition and or change. And you're in a place of resisting that process. I want to encourage you that separation is specifically to bless you. And it may be uncomfortable. And it may not look like you're winning. One of the things that I loved about Abraham and his sojourn was that he was willing to lose some things to gain some things. And you'll find that in Genesis, the 15th chapter. I won't read it right now. But you always have to be willing to lose. You always have to be willing to separate. You always have to be willing to do what somebody else will not. And so I guess I haven't titled this declaration this morning, but I'll say it like this. When they go low, you go high. And we see where Lot attached himself to him. And so I'm sure along the way, Prince Henry probably had multiple folks because of who he was and because of what he had access to and because of the fact that he is a royal bloodline that attempted to attach themselves to him. And we can see note of that with Lot and his uncle, in that they got to a place in Sodom and Gomorrah where what was on them, where they were and where they had come from, the history of their family bloodline was probably a major part of a lot of his behavior. The history of their family and their lineage is probably what he did as a result of how he operated and behaved when Abraham gave him a choice of what land to choose. He took what appeared to be the best lot, and Abraham made an active decision to take the low road. Now, one of the additional things that I love about the story of Abraham, or Abram at the time, is that everything was small stuff. He never sweated the small stuff. He never took anything personal. Now, he did look out for himself, but at the end of the day, he was willing to take whatever steps and move in whatever measures necessary to obey God. Even in his mind's eye, you know how we rationalize some of the things that we do, how we take note of some of the things that we operate in, how we make choices based upon our emotional thought process and our old systematic ways. Well, I'm going to take a little bit from here and a little bit from there, and I'm going to move this from here and move that to there. We tend to help God out quite a bit. So I'm pretty sure even him telling the story was a part of him attempting to help God out, but he was still considered righteous. He was still labeled, named, and called the father of many nations. He was still the one that we refer to, the one that we go back to in an effort to understand and know that it didn't mean anything when he blew it. It didn't change what we call him right now, right this second, when he blew it. And not only did he blow it, but as you'll continue to read in Genesis, that piece of who he was in his bloodline. But it didn't change who his children were. They are, listen, so considering Abraham was tested again with Isaac, and the reality that Isaac is still considered part of our forefather lineage. Even though that piece of who his father was in him, it didn't change that he's still our forefather. And so, Dion, what are you saying? If you would grab a hold of the truth that if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus died for you and that he rose on the third day in an effort to absolve you of the guilt of sin, that every single thing that you could think about doing, he's already nailed it to the cross. And if you could embrace the truth of God's word, that his love, what kind of love is this that a man would lay down his life for a friend? The reality is that he loves you beyond measure, and that his love is far greater than his desire to demonstrate his wrath. However, he corrects those that he loves. That does not negate, nor does it change, the truth about who God is and who you are in and through him. You just have to get to the place where you have the capacity to receive his love, which means that you have to go higher in your thinking, which means that you have to move further in your belief system, which means that it is your responsibility to trust God beyond your own imagination. It means that you have to take all of the historical things that you thought about God once upon a time and put them in this little box that has done you no good, throw it in the garbage and begin all over again, because whether or not you're circumcised, which means whether or not everything about you is or has been converted, you are the righteousness of God. Your faith is the thing that keeps you connected to the truth of his word. How far you have the capacity to believe him can literally revolutionize your life. Even as I'm speaking right now, I am reminded of how God has cared for me for the last 47 years of my life. But I'm reminded of a recent conversation that I had that was an answer to a prayer. And the reality is that the discomfort of the conversation made me go into my head and try to rationalize why this person even wanted to make this gesture. When in fact, it is the answer to a prayer, and I haven't done everything perfect. I haven't done everything right. But God, Jesus, and his sovereignty has seen to it that I lack nothing. I haven't said everything perfectly. I haven't obeyed every single instruction, some unbeknownst to me, but I know without a shadow of a doubt that I believe God ridiculously. There are moments that I fluctuate in my thought process, yes, but they're coming less and less. I am actively counteracting my stinking thinking with the truth of God's word. Now, the thing that if we get this piece right here, we understand this part, that no matter what it looks like, no matter what you go through, no matter how low you think you've gotten or how far you think you've fallen down, you are who God says you are right now. I'm going to say that one more time. You are who God says you are right this second. There is nothing you can do to counter his truth. There is nothing you can say to blow that as reality. You are right this second everything that God says you are. And if in fact you trust him enough to believe him, there are things that you thought had limits and boundaries. There are places that God has told you to go. There are businesses that God has told you to speak, to start, to write, to do. There are things that God has called you to. Right? It is your responsibility to grab hold of the truth of God's word, to live in truth as a free agent. You are free to roam about the cabin. If you focus your attention, that same attention that you focus on worry, that same attention that you focus on what am I going to do next and how am I going to do this and how am I going to do that, if you focus on loving God back, on obeying him because he is your father and because he deserves to be loved back. If you take all of that anxiety, all of those frustrations, all of that angst, and you simply love God back, and you begin to move and operate in the things of the kingdom as opposed to being worried about how you can fix this and how you can solve that and if you did this right or if you did that right, if that becomes the primary measure of how and why you live, I am absolutely convinced that you will begin to start living your very best life, that you will begin to start walking and operating in kingdom living like never before, that you will start to see doors swing open wide and places where somebody told you no once upon a time, where now here you are actually experiencing God and the truth of his word made manifest in your life. I have a feeling that if you take all of that emotional stuff that you deal with on a regular basis and start moving into kingdom living and kingdom building and trusting God to operate in faith and trusting God to stand on his promises and trusting God to give you witty ideas and inventions and trusting God to move you from brokenness to hope. I have a feeling that you'll believe that not only is he King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not only will you want to read his word and know his word, because if you knew what was in here, you would start trusting and believing, not my opinion, not my analysis of what the word of God says, but you really start to live this kingdom living thing out. The truth is, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And a lot of times we think that we're free. A lot of times we think that we are operating kingdom. But you know what? I'm going to just be honest. The majority of my life in Christ, I lived as a slave because I thought that I had to be good enough to receive God's best for me. I thought that I had to operate and behave a certain way to receive and experience the truth of God's love. But you know what, guys? Guess what? Today, I obey him because I love him. And while there are parts of me traditionally who have parts of me who have determined that I still have to do X, Y, and Z. But the reality is, I don't have to do it. He doesn't force us to do anything. I choose to do it. And so listen, with that said, I hope that something I said encouraged you. I'm hopeful that something that I said gave you the courage to believe God, not to inspire you to be like, ooh, if I don't do this, God's not going to do that. Listen, God's going to do everything that he said. Your cooperation is your prerogative. All I can tell you is the peace that you have that surpasses all understanding, when you obey him, it's priceless. The access that you have to liberty in your thinking and liberty in your living, when you just love him back and you obey him, not because you're scared he's going to kill you, but because, Dad, listen, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to make you frustrated with me. I don't want to frustrate your grace. And so I choose to obey him because he deserves that. He's been so faithful. He's been so kind. But I want us to come out of thinking that God is an ogre, because he's not. I want us to come out of thinking that he's a boogeyman, because the truth is, he's not. And the reality is that all of his promises are yes and amen. All you have to do is trust him. So with that said, guys, I'm going to pass the call to Tanya. I want you to be encouraged and remember that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And when you begin to know the truth, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Live as if you're free indeed, and just begin to love him back, as I pass the call to Tanya.
I'm free.
Hallelujah. And so Tanya is actually on the other line. We're sorry. This morning, as we're figuring out this thing, thank God we are no longer on the air. But amen. Father God in heaven, we come just saying thank you. God, we thank you for being a God that is sovereign, and for being the strength of our life, God, the source of our strength this morning. We thank you that we are absolved because your blood covers the multitude of faults, Father. We thank you this morning that we can operate and stand in agreement with the truth of who you are, in that you are Jesus, the great Messiah. You are our sovereign God. You are our King. You are everything that we need, God, that you are not only our great and heavenly host, but you are the one that changes everything about us with your word. Hallelujah. And we thank you this morning that though we may not be perfect, and though we may be broken in areas, and though there may be areas of fear and fret and chagrin, we don't have to fear, God, because if you be for us, what is the entire world against us? God, that if you set our lives in on course and in place from the foundations of the earth, for your word declares that none can come lest they be drawn. You drew us out of darkness into the marvelous light because you had a plan. You called us from being dead to being alive through you, and your blood covers us. And because, Jesus, you loved us enough to go to Calvary's cross, and now we have access to the reality that your blood covers us. And when your Father looks down, he does not see our stinking thinking. He does not see our sin. He doesn't see our brokenness and all of the errors of our ways. But he sees the blood of his Son that has washed us white as snow. And God, I thank you that we can forgive ourselves today for not recognizing that you are our sovereign God. I thank you that we can apologize for the truth that we've lived beneath our means, that we are of a royal court and we've lived like paupers. I thank you, Lord God, that we can say this morning that we repent and we confess that the error of our ways and the greatest of them has been our lack of believing you. Father, correct our thinking and take us higher in you. Give us a mind to know the word of God, to live our faith out loud in such a way that you be glorified and that you be honored. God, that we're not living our lives in fear and fret and chagrin because we're worried about you killing us dead. God, but that we love you so much that we live our faith out loud, so much so that it becomes contagious to those that are onlookers. So much so that people begin to see the pattern of our heart change and the way that we move around change in such a way that they just ask, what do they need to be saved? What do they need to do to know who you are and how you change them? And Lord God, I thank you this morning that you have freed my mind. God, that I know without a shadow of a doubt that all I have to do is believe you. All we have to do is operate as if it's already done, because the truth is, it's already done. Help our faith to catch up with the truth of your word for our lives. Help us to pattern and model for our children so that they don't spend 20 and 30 years lost and broken by religion and tradition, but that they would embrace the truth of how much you love us. Not because of what we do or what we possess, or not because of how we move, or things that we might do in the community, or do in operations at church, or serving on the usher board. Lord, let us know that that has no bearing on the truth of your word. That all we have to do is believe you. God, put it down on the inside of us. Take us higher in our faith. God, somebody's worrying right now about how they'll make ends meet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that it's already done. Somebody's sick in their body and they're frustrated and they're worried about whether or not they're going to live or die. Bless your name, God, that your word declares that by your stripes we're healed. God, I thank you this morning that all of your promises are yes and amen. Abraham proved it. Joshua proved it. Isaac proved it. Hallelujah. God, I thank you this morning that I can share this from a place of absolute confidence that you are Jehovah Jireh, that my basic needs you always see to, that you are Jehovah Nisei, that I can wave your name above, and God all know that it absolutely positively has not been me, that you consistently make a way, that you consistently open doors, that you consistently pull us out of darkness, no matter what we look like, no matter what we've done or what we've gone through or what we've been exposed to, but God, that you love us enough to separate us. I thank you for the word that says, come from among them. God, I pray that you begin to open our eyes and the eyes of our understanding to people who live in stinking thinking and how they impress upon us their opinions of who God is. I thank you today that I don't have to be terrified that I'll fall, that I'll blow it, because God, I can make an active decision to agree with the truth of your word for my life. I agree that you are the head. And I am the head and not the tail. I agree that we are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. I agree that we are blessed in the city and blessed in the fields, blessed in our coming and in our going. God, those aren't mere words. I agree that you've already made a way out of no way. God, that you've kept us and made provision for us, and you've opened doors for us that no man can shut. I agree that we have the courage to walk into those things. God, take us higher in our faith. Take us higher in our ability to agree with the truth of your word for our lives. Take us higher in that we know without a shadow of a doubt that if he did it for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that surely he is capable of doing it for us. Help us to understand without a shadow of a doubt, God, that if you be for us, what is the entire world against us? Help us to come into agreement with the truth of your word that eyes have not seen, neither have ears heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man the things God has prepared for us. God, give us capacity. Stretch us on the left and on the right. Help us to strengthen our stakes and live in our cords, for soon we'll be bursting on the left and on the right. God, help us to be good soldiers. Help us to march and to fight, God, to believe you for every single promise being yes and amen. God, give us the courage to step outside of mediocre living. Give us the courage and the stamina to move outside of our rhetorical low-down self-talk. God, give us a mind to move out of complacency and into conviction about the fact that you are a sovereign God. God, we thank you this morning that we don't have to fight for ourselves, that because you hung, blood, and died, God, because they buried you, but more than anything, because you got up with all power in heaven and earth in your hands, God, every single thing I thought I could do wrong, you covered it. Every single area I thought I could blow it in, God, you covered it. Every place that I was broken and tattered, your blood healed it. Every single area that was empty and void of the truth of your love for me, God, I thank you this morning that your blood has filled it. And I bless your name. God, give us the mind to dream higher, to believe higher, God, to trust you in a higher fashion, God, to move around like we know without a question that you've already worked it out for us, that we know without a shadow of a doubt that, Lord God, that you fight behind us. You're the front and the rear guard. You're on the left and on the right. God, you are so grand we can't get around you. You've been so good. I can't live without loving you. And so this morning, God, as we all begin to take our phones off mute, we celebrate you this morning, Jesus. Hallelujah. We began to tell you that God, you are great and greatly to be praised. God,
I said you can't. We thank you that you love us. God, that somebody under the sound of my voice got the revelation that if they just keep getting up and putting one foot in front of the other and use their words to tell themselves, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. It's not comfortable all the time, but God, I'm going to trust you. It's not fun every day, but God, I trust you. I don't understand everything, but God, I trust you. And God, like you called Abraham to be the father of many nations, I thank you this morning that you said greater works than these shall we do in your name. God, take us higher so that we can do greater works. Take us higher, Jesus. Take us higher in our understanding, in all of our getting, to get an understanding. Today, God, I understand that you love me more than I could ever blow it. Thank you, Jesus. You love me more than I could ever fail. You love me. You love me enough to provide. You love me. You love me far more than you love the birds of the air or the lilies of the field. You love me. God, I'll take it. Thank you for stretching us. Thank you for pulling on our heartstrings this morning. And thank you for walking us into the reality that, God, you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You cannot change. You cannot lie. And you cannot fail. When you made us, you didn't make no junk. So I pray this morning that somebody that was feeling low and down and depressed is encouraged to pursue, to occupy the truth of your love. Help us to be everything that you called us to be. Help us to not hold back. Help us to not be worried about the opinions of others, but to stand in the truth of you got a job to do. You got some people's lives to change. Yes, you. Imperfect you. Yes, somebody's watching you to become better. Help us to be okay with that. And help us not to fear their faces, but to stand on the rock which is higher than us. You are that rock, the rock of Gibraltar. Hallelujah. You're the wheel in the middle of the wheel. You are the lion of the tribe of Judah. You are the bright and morning star. You are El Shaddai. You are Jehovah Nisse. You are Jehovah Sikkenu. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are El Elyon. You are Jehovah Kadesh. You are God, El Roy, the God that pleases. Hallelujah. Ah, bless your name. Hallelujah. God, I thank you for seeing us. God, and as we begin to walk into love, life, and victory, let the conversation be freeing.
In the name
God,
of
let
you.
Us walk in transparency and liberty every single day of our lives, that you would get the glory out of our lives, God. Use us mightily to build the kingdom of a bunch of free people, God, no matter the creed, no matter the origin, no matter the previous culture. God, teach us kingdom culture. That we would walk and not faint, that we would run this race with patience, God, and that we would end up at the finish line with you stating to us deliberately, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Come on up a little higher. God, we speak higher this morning. And we will bless your name forever and ever. Amen and amen again.
Thank you, Miss Teresa. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is Miss Cynthia, and I'm struggling with alcohol, and I'm going to go to a program.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to go to a program.
Amen. God loves you enough to walk with you right through it.
Yes.
I don't care if you show up drunk. You hear me? You just show up. You just show up. You just keep
yes,
up
all my bills are paid. I got to go to a program. I got to go somewhere. I can't do it. I mean, I love Jesus, but I'm struggling. I'm trembling right now. The doctors probably have to give me medicine, and I'm just an alcoholic. I've been drinking 3 weeks in a row.
Amen. Amen. Well, listen, Miss Cynthia, let me tell you something. You are the righteousness of God. Right now. You are the righteousness of God. Right this second. You are everything God said you are. You are not the alcoholic that your behavior demonstrates. You are Taiwan's mama, honey. You are great and beautifully and wonderfully made. You are the Wanda's sister, honey. Everything about you is beautiful. And God has the power to take the very taste of alcoholism out of your mouth. All you got to do is trust him. And I'm not saying don't go to a program. I'm not acting slow, because that's why he made it. He put it in place just for you. But while you go through, just don't forget that he loves you just like that. He loves you just like that, right there. Even in that place, he loves you. And nothing you do can change his mind about how much he loves you. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, good morning again. We may not have had an opportunity.
So I'm gonna try to go somewhere. I can't stay at home. I'm going somewhere. Walden House somewhere. I have to go somewhere so I can detox.
Amen. Amen.
I'm serious. I'm not going to the store this morning. And thank
Amen.
You, my gal. Thank you. I don't know.
Amen.
Everybody probably hear my call, but I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready.
Come
to
on.
Surrender.
Hey!
In the name of Jesus, I'm ready to surrender. In the name of Jesus, I'm ready to surrender.
Yeah, come on through.
I rebuke the devil, and I'm ready to surrender. I have to do it. I'm 61 years old. I got to do it. I can't do this crap. I'm ready to surrender.
Hallelujah. So Miss Cynthia, I just muted you for a moment so you can hear me. I want you to listen, and even though you're on mute, it's intentional. Hey, Mother Tan, you there? Hey, she may have had to hang up. So what we're going to do really, really, really quickly, did I hear you, Tan, or no? Amen. So what we're going to do is we're going to walk through the process of the prayer of repentance. And I want you to repeat after me. And even though we can't hear you, I want you to say it because I need you to hear yourself. Okay? Lord Jesus, I surrender. I ask you to come into my heart afresh and fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, I believe that you hung, bled, and died. But more importantly, I believe that you got up on the third day with all power in your hands. It is with my confession, I surrender my heart back to you, and I declare that I am in right fellowship with you. Hallelujah. And if you believe that, I just want you to say, I agree.
I agree.
Hallelujah. And so listen.
from right this second forward, I am praying that God will send the help that you need, that the door that was once closed will now be open unto you, that there will be a program available for you to enter today if you want to. I believe that with my whole heart, Miss Cynthia. I believe that with my whole heart. And I'm trusting that God will begin. I'm trusting that God will begin to minister to you like he never has before, and that he will literally take the taste of alcohol out of your mouth. And of course, with the necessary assistance, you will walk in the freedom that you've been daydreaming about. Amen. Amen. So I know we're a little behind the eight ball this morning, but can we just give one good celebratory shout for Miss Cynthia and her desire to be reclaimed and to walk in victory and in hope. Hallelujah, God, we bless you.
Hallelujah,
we bless your name.
Hallelujah, praise God. Miss Cynthia, move for you, baby. You go, girl. You got this.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
There may be somebody this morning. You didn't get a chance to say good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Who's there?
Good morning, Gloria.
Hey,
good morning.
Hey, Mona.
Hey.
Morning, it's Juliet.
Hey, Juliet.
Good morning, this is Catherine.
Hey, Catherine, good morning.
Good morning, it's just a great declaration.
Praise God. Anybody else?
Good morning, Dion.
Hey, Tasha, good morning. Who else?
Pam, hey, good morning.
Hey, Pam, good morning.
Hey, love y'all.
Love you. Hey, D. Good morning.
Great declaration. Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning, April.
Hey, April Mayberry. Anybody else?
Good morning, Lucille.
Hey, Miss Lucille. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, it's Amina.
Hey, Amina. Good morning.
Good morning, Victor. God bless you all this morning.
Hey, Aisha. Hey, Brother Jeff. Good morning. God bless you back. Anybody else?
Good morning. This is Yvette.
Hey, Yvette. Good morning. Hallelujah. So hopefully everybody got a chance to say good morning that wanted to. We have a few minutes for a couple of quick questions. Anybody have any questions, comments, concerns? Amen. Did anybody have an aha moment during the declaration? Wow, don't everybody jump up at one time. Jeez.
Hey, sister Ravonda. What's so awesome about our father, honey? He ain't deadbeat. He ain't no deadbeat dad. He takes care of us. And when we are wayward, you know, when we find ourselves, you know, in just, you know, situations, you know, that, you know, we feel that are unforgivable, you know, he's standing there and he's waiting for us. And you reminded us this morning of the royalty that we have in him, you know, the heritage and the legacy we have in him. And it does, what we've done doesn't negate that, you know. And so I'm glad that we are treasured by him, and that he's provided for us, and that our sins are covered. You know, our sins are covered. And for him to deny us is just like me, if I would deny Hadassah, you know, because she made a mistake. You know, she's not my child anymore. you know. And what's so awesome is, you know, we're of the adoption, so we are even more entitled to what is privy to us than someone who was born to it. I when I adopted my kids, I can't give them away. They're entitled to just as much as Hadassah is entitled to. When I went to go do my insurance policy, sis, they asked me I had to name my children, all of my children. When Hadassah's dad died, because he adopted two other children, we have two other children, they were entitled to the money that was received also, you know, and they didn't do anything for it other than he claimed them as his own. And so they were entitled to everything. I enjoyed your share this morning.
Amen. Thanks, sis.
Hey, D.
Hey.
Girl, Jesus, I'm trying not to. Just the fact that he loves us no matter, we can never blow it and never fail. And his love is so extravagant with all the dirt and mess and just the muck and the, ugh. That just the love. Oh, my God. It just, whew, my God. Thank you, sister, for your just who you are. I'm just, this morning is just a full morning, but it's, and then for Tan to come pray my face off, man, I gotta go on mute.
Everybody didn't hear that because you was on that back line. I'm trying.
No,
y'all.
I tried to figure out why me and Tanya was the only one having a conversation.
Because, honey, I blew it. I'm over here trying to figure it out. If y'all could have seen me trying to work all these contraptions and give a declaration at the same time, everybody would have been crying, laughing. I need y'all to be clear.
Hello?
Hey, good morning, Mona. What's going on?
Hey, good morning. You know, I came in, but, you know, they say you always come in right on time. But the main thing that just kept sticking out to me, Dion, is he loves you right where you are.
Yep.
He loves you right where you are, you know? And just you don't have to keep thinking you got to get things right. He go get you right. Just keep coming to him. But it's just that part just stuck out so much to me. I needed to hear that again. You know what I mean? Regenerate that inside of me, of knowing that.
Yes, it's very important. And unfortunately for most of us, we are so accustomed to hearing we go in hell. I mean, you know, I mean, hell is real, and there's a possibility that one might go there. But the reality is that as long as we believe God and we do what we know to do to obey him, the reality is that we probably not. Like, for real. And it doesn't matter how much work you do. There's a promise that he desires to fulfill. I would that none would perish. That's his will for us. And knowing that, it takes off some of the pressure of performing and entertaining God. We cannot. We don't have the capacity. We are not grand enough or big enough to entertain God. So why not just love him?
Right. That's so true. And look at this. This is the little funny part that I thought about too. When I was a kid, I always used to think, like, oh, God, you know, because we lived in the projects and stuff. And in my head, I used to imagine, like, I was made for royalty. I was made to live in castles and stuff, right?
Right.
And then I looked around in my head, and I said, no, that was true. The Holy Spirit was telling me the truth then. Oh, God. Just that feeling he was giving me as a kid, you know, of loving on me then, you know, because, yeah, just I was thinking about that in that way of, I remember how in my guy used to come and make me feel that way. Like, no, you know, made me feel special.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Yes. Hey, Lady Di. Hey. I enjoyed your share this morning. And one thing that you said is, like, many of us really don't trust God, because if we did, you know, God promises all through the Bible, even though they were given back in ancient days, they still apply to us. And if we we just trust God's promises. Like you said, all of his promises are yes and amen. If we walk in who God is in our lives, then he will begin to change some things in our life and transform our lives to look more like him. And we'll be able to enjoy life more better, to go deeper in him. And I thought that just stood out to me, because I can see the change in myself. When you really truly just turn your life over to God and try to live the way he tells you to do. None of us have it all together, but God don't condemn us. We keep going on and on, you know, and we don't realize when the more we stay in God's word and try and live it out, we don't even see the changes right then, but we'll see the changes later. We'll look back and say, oh, I don't remember when that went away. Because myself, I can see the change in me from when I first got on this call. I can see the change in me this last year, because I spend more time with God now. And maybe that job had to go away so that I can spend time with God and get to know him better and to experience him better. Because God has given us everything. He says it in his word, that he's given us everything pertaining to this life. But we got to be in that book to know what God says about us, what we have, and know who he says that we are in him. It's all about who Christ is to us and what he means to us. We got to get in the book to know that God is good for her, that he's good for us, and what he says about us, that's who we are. We can't allow things and people to define us. God is the only one who can define who we are. And so we need to know who we are in him and who he is to us. And I think that was your message. Said all of that, and I praise God for that. Thank you.
Amen. And thank you for sharing, Diane. And I agree. Amen. Anybody else?
Good morning. I wanted to echo what the person right before just said about how in your message you said that God loves us despite and because and regardless. And it just made me think about how I want to work on making sure I love myself that same way, because that's how God created me, and God is moving with me through each and every step and every transition I find myself in my life. And that I should love myself in the same way. And I know we moved on, but I wanted to say, I believe her name is Miss Cynthia, that I hope that you, even in the midst of what you're going through, are loving yourself at your present moment, and that you can feel all the love and the support from people, and the people praying over you, even when you don't know it, even when you're not on this call. And that we don't know what your journey will be. We don't know if it'll be easy or hard, but that you continue to pray and that you get excited for what God is going to do and for how God is going to transform your life, for you to even go on this call. That's one thing I love about this call. And I love about a good preacher is when they can tell on themselves, when they can be honest, because that's so important for us to have transparency in this lifetime. Because this world is not easy, and people, we're all wearing masks sometimes. And when you can be transparent, you're being honest with yourself and you're being honest with God. So I just want to encourage you and tell you to high five yourself, because you're doing great.
Amen. And thank you for that. Listen, I'm not doing anything at all other than what I was absolutely created to do. And I'm more excited this morning about being in God's will and understanding that all I have to do is love him back. everything else is already taken into consideration. Thank you for sharing that, and thank you for your encouraging words. I appreciate you, and I trust that God will bless you even the more for encouraging me to keep going. Honey, I absolutely am going to win, because quitting is not an option. You hear me? Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Hey,
I'm gonna jump in.
Hey, man, it's who? I heard two folks. Who was that?
Gloria.
Hey, Glow, and I heard one more person. Who else?
Lavina.
Okay, go in that order, Glow and Lavina. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to say good morning to the family and to thank you so much for just allowing God to just minister to us once again in your declaration and encourage us, and that we will keep going. We thank God for him just allowing us the opportunity, another day to go higher, another opportunity to just keep on going, keep moving. And he's got us, and he is not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. And I just bless him for that. And I thank God for my Declare Victory family, and I thank him for you. I love you.
Amen, and I love you too, Glow. You know what it is, child. Thank you for sharing. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, V.
I'm just grateful that God is a promise keeper. When all else fails, he's a promise keeper. And so we just have to truly grab a hold and believe that his word is true and his word will do what it said it will do. And so I'm just excited about that. And I'm more excited that I get to be like the little ant on the sideline, just watching the garden and the flowers bloom. And so he's blooming.
Amen. God be praised. And absolutely, honey, I refuse to quit blooming. It is my blooming season, and I'm ready for it. You hear me? What I say?
Mm-hmm.
She ready.
Amen. Ready. Love you too.
I love you too. Amen. Anybody else?
Good morning. It's Krishanda.
Hey, Krishanda. Good morning.
Good morning. I just want to say, isn't it just awesome that God is our safe place, that he's our Father, he's our safe place. I thank you for the declaration. And I just thank you that we can go to God, and no matter who we are, how we are, what we think, our stinking thinking, our good days, our bad days, that he loves us no matter what. Thanks again for your share, and have a blessed day.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. I absolutely agree. Amen. He loves us. Honey, if we can just wrap our minds around that piece right there. He loves you. He loves you. That's all. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Nothing you can do to change his mind about it. Amen. Amen. Anybody else before we get ready to wrap it up?
Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. I just want to thank you for the reminder.
Yeah, that was good.
Jesus.
Yes, he does. That's
the I can do about it.
Listen. I'm trying to be cool, but honey, just when I think about the goodness of Jesus, for real, when I think about how much he loves us, I cannot stop smiling. I feel like somebody is flirting with me right now. I'm just appreciative, honey. I'm just grateful. Gratefulness is flowing from my heart this morning.
Amen. I feel it's contagious.
Hallelujah. Anybody else?
Amen. Hey, good morning. Amen. All right, well, if there be no one else, listen. If you don't get anything else today, and if you happen to forget, I just dare you to open up your mouth and say, hey, Jesus loves me. Like, literally, he really, 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 really loved me. And to know that, and to know that every single thing that I've ever done, he has not held against me. And if you are uncertain about what I said, I dare you to read Romans, the 4th chapter, and read it in its entirety. Eat it. Consume it. Let it become the catalyst to your day. Romans, the 4th chapter, read it and observe the reality of who God says you are in and through him, and embrace it and start to walk in it with conviction, and know that because he's a promise keeper, everything he shows you, every dream you've had, every vision you've had is not only sure, but he got to keep his word. Otherwise, he would not be God. So just be encouraged today. Walk in love and in truth. Be kind to somebody today, because guess what? God loves them too, right? And so treat your brothers and sisters like they're your brothers and sisters. You own your job and you got a difficult supervisor. Be the demonstration of Jesus and his righteousness. Be the demonstration of his love and nothing less. And they will know us by our love. And so I thank you guys for joining us this morning. For those that are fasting today, we meet back here with Lady Diane at 5 p.m. Today will be a great day to fast. And ask the Lord to stretch you and to help you to believe what his word says about who you are, so that you can start walking victoriously. As my sister with the red suitcase diaries would say, victorious living is no piece of cake. But I know that with Jesus, we can make it through anything. So I love you guys. I pray that you continue to go and grow in love and be the Jesus that somebody needs to see. You never know who might need you to be on your A-game today. So I will hear you at 5 o'clock. Otherwise, I'll hear you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., same bat station. And if, in fact, the call has been a blessing to you, don't forsake to give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measures, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. This is great ground. Amen. God bless you. Love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day, guys.
You too. God bless you.
You too.
God bless you. You too.
Have a wonderful day, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Essence, thank you.
Yeah. I'm going to war.
Who is that? My God.